A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of God's robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above the Lord. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory.' The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.' Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. Is it I, Lord?" I just goofed up the lyrics, but that's okay. I do that when I sing to my cats all the time. Okay. "But I will hold your people in my heart," is how the song goes. Isaiah also said, "Here I am." And now a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in that one may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in that one may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. How can these things be? I am so glad we have so many ancestors of our faith who've been willing to ask questions and live questions as part of their life of discipleship. How can these things be? Questions are important to me. I believe our God invites us, encourages us to ask questions of ourselves, of one another, and of our God. I believe our God invites us, encourages us to ask questions of our sacred scriptures, our time-honored traditions, our pastors and teachers and religious leaders. Questions and our living of them, I believe, help us to deepen, enliven, and recharge our faith. This morning, I want to invite us to become a bit more acquainted with one of our questioning and questing ancestors of the faith, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very important person in his day. He was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. And as a Pharisee in Jesus' day, Nicodemus was a member of a flourishing Jewish religious party considered by many to be the most expert and accurate expositors of Jewish law. Later, in this same Gospel of John, we discover that this leader of the Jews, Nicodemus, was also a member of the Sanhedrin, or a regional legislative council of approximately 70 elders that interpreted Jewish law and adjudicated appeals, especially in ritual matters. In today's terms, Nicodemus would be at least a state Supreme Court justice and possibly equal to a member of the Supreme Court. No small beans, Nicodemus. So consequently, Nicodemus, an esteemed, recognized, learned, powerful leader of the community, needed to meet this radical, upstart, incredibly independent, seemingly self-taught, itinerant Rabbi Jesus by night. The Gospel of John says Nicodemus met Jesus by night. Even then, everyone knew you were judged by the company you keep. For Nicodemus, and for many of us, I'm sure, the searching, the questions surface in the night. Perhaps the questions come in the middle of the night after a dearly loved one has died. Perhaps the questions come in the wee hours of the morning, when the teenage daughter has completely blown her curfew or the elderly parent with Alzheimer's has mistaken an outside door for a bathroom door. Perhaps the questions come in the early evening, after the company or organization to which you have given your heart and soul for the last 15 years simply says, "We don't need you or cannot afford your services any longer." Perhaps the questions come, as St. John of the Cross suggested, in the dark night of our souls. It may not literally be nighttime, but our souls, our lives, feel overwhelmed by an absence of light or love or life. Yes, the searching, the questions so often surface in the night. And as we search, as we question, we long for an encounter with Jesus. In the nighttime of our lives, we need Jesus. When all is going well, we may rejoice in and give thanks for Jesus, but when we walk in the shadows and struggle in the darkness, we need, we long for, we've got to have Jesus. And Jesus is there. Jesus is waiting. The story doesn't share this detail, but I think Jesus was expecting this visit from Nicodemus. Jesus expects and wants us to come looking for him, especially in the night. Jesus is waiting right now for you and for me. When we encounter Jesus in the night or in the bright light of day, Jesus cannot help but mention the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, and the love of God. Yet Nicodemus, with all that legal experience, seemed to be knocked off balance when Jesus' first words to him were, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus was obviously flustered because he took Jesus too literally and asks, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Silly question. Oh, no silly questions. Before we come down too hard on Nicodemus, maybe it would be good to ask ourselves when we last saw the kingdom of God or experienced a rebirth in our own lives. We're a few short weeks on the other side of our Easter celebration of resurrection, and only 1 week past our celebration of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And I'm wondering when each of us last entered into the kingdom of God. John's gospel honestly doesn't spend much time on the kingdom of God. That's kind of left to the other gospel writers. Remarkably, these two verses are the only time the word kingdom appears in the entire gospel of John. Ah, but John's gospel spends a whole lot of time on spirit and on love. And in these two verses from today's reading, Jesus makes it clear that seeing and entering the kingdom of God is only possible through new birth, being born from above, in the Spirit. "Very truly, I tell you," said Jesus, "no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and Spirit." The Holy Spirit is given to us, thanks be to God, to offer us the power to see and live in the world differently. The Holy Spirit breathes new life into us so that we can imagine and experience and live in and continue to create a kingdom, a realm, the realm of God, a kingdom here and now that is so much more beautiful and whole and holy than our literal, physical, material, earthly kingdoms. The Holy Spirit stretches us and blows where it chooses. This congregation, nearly 10 years ago, voted to call this small-town Iowa girl, seasoned with sojourns throughout the Midwest, a brief stint on the West Coast, a good 7 years sojourning in New England, even if it was Connecticut, and some mid-Atlantic Philadelphia time, to come alongside you as your pastor. How can these things be? What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Holy Spirit stretches us and blows where she chooses. That same small-town Iowa girl who felt God's call on her heart to be a pastor when she was 8 years old found that she had to study and pray and travel in the wilderness for nearly 40 years. Okay, that's biblical, but still, for nearly 40 years before she was ordained in the United Church of Christ. How can these things be? What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Holy Spirit stretches us and blows where it chooses. 6 months ago, only 6 months ago, our congregation gathered in a special congregational meeting, heard a recap of 3 possible scenarios for charting our path into the future, prayed hard, sought out one another and Jesus in our time of need, perhaps even what some of us experienced as our dark night of the soul. And we swallowed hard and voted to set out on the path toward consolidation with one or more additional congregations. How can these things be? What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Holy Spirit stretches us and blows where it chooses. A week ago, a little over a week ago, this pastor sent you all a letter that shared my intention and timeline for when I will retire from walking alongside you as your pastor. gives us a good 13 months to walk yet together. But how can these things be? What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Holy Spirit stretches us and blows where it chooses. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, my friends, I believe and I know is moving among us, dwelling and abiding in us, stretching us, blowing where it chooses, demonstrating to us again and again and again that God's realm, God's kingdom is an ever-widening circle of the love of God. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in that one may not perish, but have eternal life. New life, eternal life, not solely in the by and by, but in the here and now too. In the Gospel of John, writes Paul Hammer, retired professor of New Testament, eternal life is not only a quantity of life beyond death, but a quality of life already lived out of God's gift of love. I came that you may have life, said Jesus, and have it abundantly. How can these things be? God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. How can these things be? For God so loved the world. Thank God for the witness and the questions of Nicodemus. Surely Nicodemus encountered Jesus many more times. For John's gospel goes on to tell us that Nicodemus spoke up on behalf of Jesus as the Sanhedrin met to discuss their course of action concerning him. And ultimately, Nicodemus joined Joseph of Arimathea in tending to Jesus' lifeless body, preparing it for burial and laying it in the tomb. Nicodemus is another example of a disciple of Christ as a work in progress. Nicodemus, like so many of us, individual disciples and even entire congregations, encounter Jesus by night, full of questions and in need of rebirth. Through such encounters, Jesus taught and is still teaching that seeing and entering the kingdom of God is only possible through new birth, being born from above, some say born again, in the Spirit. How can these things be? Not through any 3-point or 7-part formula or plan of salvation, for rebirth from above is beyond anyone's control and is subject to the mysterious freedom of the Spirit. For the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. May we pray for growth in our faith in the Spirit, each one of us and all of us as a congregation. And as Nicodemus grew in faith, may God's Holy Spirit continue to blow among us, and within us and through us, inspiring us to see and enter into the kingdom, the realm, the kingdom of God this day, in all the days and all the nights of our lives. This is my prayer for every one of us. May it be so. Amen and amen.